It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots
Phoenicia.
Of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to use?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air on Monday, August 22nd at 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, we will hear from Ronnie Mintor, a formerly incarcerated individual living now in Albany, who is the co-founder of the Freedom Unshackled Coalition, and is talking about how the New York prisons recently stopped letting people send care packages to family members. You know, you have to buy things, products, through special companies. It's all turned into capitalism. And we will also hear on Monday at 10 a.m. we'll hop on the Afrosonic Taxi and hear from Tayana Azizi, Angelique Kidjo, and Selena Leem, among others. At 11 a.m. Brendan Donegan is playing favorites from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. The favorites he's playing this Monday are Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock. Then at noon on the Deep Three show, hear tracks from Sarah Peebles, Teresa Wong, and Charles Lloyd, among others. 2 p.m., the Vital Weekly show tunes in brand new music from around the world, including music this week from Peter Koch, Kim Meyer, and Angelina Yershova. Elliot Sharp is the featured artist at 3 p.m. on the Tracking the Odds show. And then at 7 p.m., it's time for Law and Disorder on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
On Sunday evening at 6 o'clock right here on WGXC. You can tune in to listen to the program Lawful and Humane.
The Inhuman City.
On this program you will hear music, foul sounds, intentional noise, words,
field recordings.
All together, all at once. Tune in to Lawful and Humane. Live radio from Hudson, New York. On WGXC 90.7 FM.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Info, music, signals, news, fun and frolic, and emergency instructions.
90.7 FM. WGXC.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Raymond Pignone is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the chronic staffing shortages plaguing Columbia Memorial Health in Hudson have caught the attention of U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Gillibrand has called upon the CMH administration to work with 1199 SEIU, United Healthcare Workers East, to address the staffing issues impacting the hospital. The New York Democrat sent a letter urging administrators to offer union workers, quote, fair and equitable compensation and benefits, unquote, comparable to other hospitals in the region. In a statement released August 18th, Gillibrand said Columbia Memorial Health's unwillingness to provide equitable compensation for workers has led to the healthcare network losing valuable employees to other hospitals, leaving Columbia and Greene counties with shrinking access to medical care. Quote, as the only hospital between Kingston and Albany, Columbia Memorial Health staff serve more than 100,000 residents in a healthcare desert spanning Columbia, Greene, and Dutchess counties, unquote, Gillibrand wrote. She said the health center is operating with a staff vacancy rate of more than 200 bargaining unit members. CMH spokesperson Bill Van Slyke called the senator's statements unfortunate, misleading, and inaccurate. Quote, the real challenges to health care are very well documented, but we very much welcome the senator's interest in this matter because much can be done at the federal level to address the core factors coming to bear here, unquote, Van Slyke said. Vacancy issues at Columbia Memorial Health have persisted after negotiations in May when technicians, licensed practical nurses, and janitorial staff were excluded from the talks. Union Communications Director Mindy Berman said Gillibrand's letter speaks for itself and defended it as, quote, pretty comprehensive, unquote. Emergency room technician Sarah Jordan said her department is struggling with staff shortages that cause them to hold patients in hallways or transfer them to other hospitals. Jordan was one of eight union employees to meet with Gillibrand and discuss the issues. Van Slyke addressed the comments made by the union in a statement put out on August 19th. He said the primary issue is a real and pre-existing shortage of healthcare workers exacerbated by the pandemic, which is what policymakers need to focus on. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Jordan Michael reports for News10.com that following a four-month search, Hancock Shaker Village, the foremost Shaker living history museum in the country, has named Nathaniel Silver as its new director. Silver will take over the position from Jennifer Traynor Thompson on September 19th. Silver comes to Hancock Shaker Village from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, where he served for 8 years as the William and Leah Pourvieu Curator of the Collection and Division Head. In that role, he managed collections, conservation, publications, and archives. Quote, I am thrilled to join Hancock Shaker Village at such an exciting time. The Shakers left a uniquely American legacy of equity and sustainability that resonates profoundly today and inspires every aspect of the village's dynamic public program. I look forward to working with the staff to building on these incredible successes and to shaping a vibrant future together, unquote, Silver said. Before joining the Gardner Museum, Silver worked for 3 years at the Frick Collection in New York City. He earned a Ph.D. and a master's degree from the University of London. Hancock Shaker Village consists of 20 historic buildings on 750 acres in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Through Shaker Architecture Design, a 22,000-piece collection and engaging programming, the village brings the Shaker story to life. Read more about this story at News10.com. And Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting for the Times Union that a green slick of toxic bacteria has formed on a large section of the Wallkill River in Ulster County over the past several days. Commonly referred to as algae blooms, these slicks actually consist of a toxic form of cyanobacteria, which can be harmful to humans and deadly to dogs. The Department of Environmental Conservation received 9 reports of the toxic bloom during the past week on a section of the Wallkill from the village of New Paltz to Sturgeon Pool in Rifton. There's been an additional report of cyanobacteria in the Wallkill tributary Roundout Creek in Rosendale, suggesting the slick might be spreading to the city of Kingston. But according to Dan Shapley, the co-director of science and patrol for the environmental group Riverkeeper, the size of the slick is far greater. Shapley said the slick extends more than 14 miles from the community gardens in New Paltz to Creek Locks in Rosendale, where the Wallkill meets the Roundout. Cyanobacteria can release toxins that can cause irritation and a burning sensation when touching human skin. Ingesting or breathing in droplets of water with these toxins can lead to illness, and some people experience allergic reactions and breathing difficulties when exposed, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation. The slicks can be much more harmful to dogs, resulting in stumbling, difficulty breathing, elevated heart rate, seizures, convulsions, and paralysis. Dogs occasionally die from exposure, according to Shapley. Cyanobacteria develops in water bodies when two distinct conditions exist: high levels of nitrogen and phosphorus, both of which are found in fertilizer and warm, still water. This is not the first time the slicks have struck the Wallkill. Blooms have been reported near New Paltz dating back to 2015, according to the DEC. A bloom in 2016 affected 30 miles of the river from Montgomery to Orange County to Rosendale and lasted for more than 50 days. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air on Monday, August 22nd at 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, we will hear from Ronnie Mintor, a formerly incarcerated individual living now in Albany, who is the co-founder of the Freedom Unshackled Coalition, and is talking about how the New York prisons recently stopped letting people send care packages to family members. You know, you have to buy things, products, through special companies. It's all turned into capitalism. And we will also hear on Monday at 10 a.m. we'll hop on the Afrosonic Taxi and hear from Tayana Azizi, Angelique Kidjo, and Selena Leem, among others. At 11 a.m. Brendan Donegan is playing favorites from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. The favorites he's playing this Monday are Wayne Shorter and Herbie Hancock. Then at noon on the Deep Three show, hear tracks from Sarah Peebles, Teresa Wong, and Charles Lloyd, among others. 2 p.m., the Vital Weekly show tunes in brand new music from around the world, including music this week from Peter Koch, Kim Meyer, and Angelina Yershova. Elliot Sharp is the featured artist at 3 p.m. on the Tracking the Odds show. And then at 7 p.m., it's time for Law and Disorder on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Melissa Mano reports for the Times Union how a lack of rain this summer has stunted this year's crops of vegetables. Scott Seeberger of Windy Hill Orchard in Rensselaer County said, and I quote, "Our biggest struggle right now is fruit size. Being an older farm, we didn't have the irrigation system that we would have liked, and we're probably two sizes down on fruit," end quote. The U.S. Drought Monitor reports that most of the local area is in a moderate drought. Last month, for instance, was Albany County's sixth driest July on record, with 1.82 inches of rain below normal, according to the Federal Integrated Drought Information System. Jim Zub, who owns West Wing Ag in Rensselaer and Washington counties, said, and I quote, "It's disheartening because you know that the crop is so damaged that it's not going to recover," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "We haven't seen a drought like this since the first year we bought this farm in 1983. And this is significantly worse because of the timing," end quote. He expects to get 30 bushels an acre of corn this year, rather than the normal yield of about 170 to 175 bushels per acre. The timing is worse because costs for fertilizer and fuel are nearly double because of global inflation and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Tessie Gifford on her farm in Gainesport said, and I quote, "The peppers are shriveling up on the plants. The beans feel hollow. Just this week when I pick eggplant, it mushes. It's spongy in my hand," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Meckel reports in Porcupine Soup that Cairo Town Supervisor Jason Watts and Councilperson Tim Powers are bickering in public again. At the town's August 17th meeting, at the end of the meeting, Powers said, and I quote, "At the August 1st meeting, an executive session was called that was not on the agenda, and the reason being was for discussion of the recent lawsuit that was filed against the town of Cairo," end quote. Powers started to say before Watts cut him off, and I quote, upon heading toward the private meeting room, end quote, Watts told Powers, and I quote, can't have this discussion. I'm going to put you on notice right now. You cannot have this discussion, end quote. Powers pressed back, and I quote, no, I can have the discussion that you and Councilwoman Deborah Bogans banned me, end quote. Watts interrupted, saying, we didn't ban you, end quote. Then Powers said, and I quote, you tried to ban me from going into executive session, end quote. Watts responded, no, I didn't, end quote. Then Powers said, and I quote, you tried to call a vote, and you both voted to kick me out, end quote. At one point, Watts said, and I quote, this is my board, end quote. And Powers corrected him, saying, and I quote, this is the people's board, end quote. Attorney Monica Kenny Kepp is suing the town of Cairo and Watts and town council members Deborah Bogans, Michael Flattery, and Mary Jo Cords on behalf of Cairo residents Emmy Cross and Mountain View Enterprises, LLC, a company owned by Krepp's husband, Chris Krepp. They say the town acted, and I quote, illegally, voting to split up more than $60,000 in HUD, U.S. Housing, Urban and Development Residential Rehabilitation Grant Funds, among three applicants. Powers was absent the night of that vote, so is not being sued. Watts and Powers frequently bicker with each other at town meetings. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Heather Bagshaw has quit her job as Greene County Tourism Director. On August 6, she started a new job as the Vice President of Marketing with Destination Niagara USA. She said, and I quote, number one, it was just about a personal change. Ultimately, it was about career advancement. This opportunity affords me growth in my career, working with a great destination and team and working under President and CEO of Destination Niagara USA, John Percy, who is well known in the industry. It was a great career move for me, and that's basically the main reason. I did enjoy my time with Greene County. I loved the people, but it was just time, end quote. Bagshaw became Greene Tourism Director in February 2013 and was a Catskill Village Trustee from 2015 to 2018. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden sung her praises. Groden said, and I quote, she worked tirelessly. She automated a lot of things and brought technology to bear in the industry. We had the formation of the Tourism Advisory Committee under her, as well as the Business Advisory Committee under her. So she was very active, and she was very involved in the community, end quote. Groden said the county is looking for a replacement. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining subscriber or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The lowest price for a gallon of gas, according to the Gas Buddy website, is at the Mobil in Cairo for $4.12 a gallon. And the air quality forecast is much worse on Sunday than it was on Saturday. It's up to 36, still in the good range, but much worse than the 20 on Saturday. And then the UV index is at a 5 on Sunday. That's at the high end of the moderate range, and so you're recommended to wear hat, sunglasses, and a 30-plus sunscreen if you can. Then the National Weather Service in Albany, they predict that Sunday should be sunny with a high near 86, and there's possible chance of isolated showers after 2 p.m., a 20% chance, with a light wind from the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Sunday night, scattered showers are possible after 2 a.m. with cloudy skies, a low around 63 and a southeast wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Monday, showers are likely. There's an 80% chance of rain, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. with a high of 75 and a southeast wind 6 to 9 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Monday night, the rain continues. There's an 80% chance and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m. with a low around 64 and a south wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Tuesday, there's a 70% chance of rain again, possibly a thunderstorm in the afternoon, with a high near 78 and a low around 61. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to the January 6th hearings, which will finally determine the criminal culpability of former fake president Donald Jessica Trump. Now let's go to some behind-the-scenes DVD extras from his pre-recorded address to the nation on January 7th. Okay, whenever you're ready, sweetie.
And we are rolling. Everyone please clear to set. We're rolling. Thank you. Okay, Mr. President, you're on in five.
You got this, bitch.
Three, two.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday.
Sing out, Louise!
But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say...
Just say you're a big fat loser.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Let's take that again.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Yesterday. Such a complicated word to say. When his dentures start to slip away, he's not okay with yesterday. Plain to see how he screwed with our democracy. Binging Big Macs while he watched TV. This just ain't on our history.
Joined now by the man everyone's talking about, Attorney General Garland. Judy, seditious conspiracy, espionage, bad hair. What the hell is it going to take to nail this guy? No pressure.
The Justice Department has been doing the most wide-ranging investigation in its history.
Well, step on it, sis, because he's getting ready to announce, and we cannot let him be president again. I'm running out of show tunes.
The Justice Department has, from the beginning, been moving urgently to bring to justice everybody who's criminally responsible for interfering with the peaceful transfer of power.
We said, girl, time to go.
He said no.
That piece of trash. He cried, stop the steal, grab the wheel, and try to crash the country. Misery. On that awful January day. Josh Hawley tried to join the fray. Then his pants and ran away.
Blasphemy!
What?
Cried the slimy, awful GOP when they broke into his property for national security. He's done every crime. Now it's time to crush this clown. Go and lock him up, or he'll flush this country down the toilet. Yesterday. The DOJ and prosecute like yesterday. Lock him up like yesterday.
Please.
We will have the evidence.
Step on it, sis.
Thank you. was not like this or that, but that which was aptly named for a man whose plan is a dime in a can downstairs for a dollar. If he can win the time with the dame, he ain't ashamed to holler.
To finish up tonight's show, we have Mark Emanation with us of the Capital District Area Labor Federation. He joins us now. Welcome, Mark. You're a familiar